ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
From down under to the very, very top in Italy, on the streets of Verona, right outside the famous Roman amphitheatre, Veni, Vidi, Hindley! He wins the Giro d'Italia!
In 2022, Jai Hindley became the first Australian to win the Giro d'Italia. In 2026, he's back to try and reclaim the Maglia Rossa. Some of the sport's biggest names are missing, so he's not without a chance, but his biggest competition may come from inside his own team. There's a 12-strong Australian contingent, so this Giro will be one to watch. In the AFL, the game's record is set to be equaled this weekend by Scott Pendlebury, and is the Dockers' win over the Hawks enough to have them in the conversation as a genuine contender? Plus, why is Yannick Sinner feeling disrespected? That's in Soundbites. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. The Giro d'Italia is the first of the grand cycling tours of the year, and it gets underway Friday night Australian time. Dave McKenzie is an Australian cyclist who back in 2000 won stage 7 of the Giro. He's also part of the SBS's cycling podcast and their broadcast of the Giro d'Italia. Dave, I want to start with the Aussies, and then I want to talk about kind of the top dogs. Jai Hindley won the 2022 event and comes in as the co-leader of his team, Bora Hansgrohe, along with Giulio Pellizzani. How hard will he be pushing to beat his own teammate across the tour as opposed to the rest of the peloton?
Firstly, it's exciting. We've got 12 Aussies and, yes, Jai Hindley. Outside of Cadel Evans, he is the only other Australian to win a Grand Tour, and it is, of course, the Giro d'Italia, as you mentioned. He won't be fighting his own teammate. I see it as a positive that they've got co-leadership. Pellizzari is the new man on the block in Italian cycling, so the Tifosi have got their hopes high on Pellizzari.
He's a really special rider, really good kid, and I think he has a massive future in front of him. If I see the way he is and the way he races, he's like top.
However, he's not on an Italian team. As you said, it's Red Bull, Bora Hansgrohe, and they'll have co-leadership. And if the team are smart, which they should be, they will manage both riders really well, and they can actually assist each other deep into the second and third week if need be. So I see it as a real positive for Jai and for Pellizzari, for that matter.
I think we have a super strong team. We're both in good form. Yeah, I think the most important is to get as deep into the race with two guys high on GC as possible.
At what point do you expect that the team will have to make a call? How far into the Giro?
Well, yeah, look, it's a good question. It's a million-dollar question. We don't know, because in the first week, a rider could crash out. One of those riders could crash out. They could get sick. There's so many variables, and people tend to forget that when we say talk about favourites or this person's the outright favourite. And sometimes the biggest battle is they've got to make it through the 21 days. Forget about beating their own rivals. You've got to be healthy. You've got to stay safe. You've got to not crash on the descents.
The level of cycling in general now is super high. It's getting harder and harder every year, I would say.
It'll sort itself out. And generally it does in Grand Tours when you see co-leadership.
Two of last year's Australian stage winners are returning this year in Caden Groves and Chris Harper. Do you expect that we will see more Aussies winning stages in 2026? It's not a bad Aussie field.
Yeah, it's a great Aussie field. You're right, 12 Australians. And look, Caden Groves, it's quite incredible. He comes into this race with the most Grand Tour stage wins of anyone in the race.
This rider is now a stage winner in all three Grand Tours. The emotion breaks out. Solo win, Caden Groves, stage 20.
That includes Jonas Vingegaard, Jonathan Milan, the great Italian sprinter. So I think first things first, we expect a victory from Caden. However, I'm giving him an out clause because he's only raced 7 days this year. He had a very interrupted spring, I think with injury and illness. So he comes in a little bit underdone, but he is on the start line. And the team, Albertsen Premier Tech, they wouldn't have put him on the start line if they didn't think he was ready to go. So I firstly expect a stage win from him. Outside of that, Chris Harper, his stage win last year was incredible. The Queen stage, the penultimate stage, it was phenomenal for him and, you know, something for Aussies to cheer about. So I think with the 12 Aussies, we can hope, expecting, I think is a strong word, doesn't matter the success we've had as Australian cyclists, but we should hope for a couple of stage wins.
Finally on the Aussies, Dave, Michael Storer is one that I think cycling fans, or at least coming into this, might be sleeping on. He finished fourth at the Tour of the Alps last year, plus a top 10 finish at the Giro last year as well. Who is this guy and how high can he climb? Pun intended here.
Yeah, you've done your homework. Look, he's a star, Michael Storer. He is an absolute star. And he is that sort of quiet achiever. He's quietly spoken. And even when you interview him, and I've interviewed him, he doesn't give you much. You know, he's a really quiet sort of a guy. But, gee, has he got an engine on him? And as you said, he's got a CV to match. So I think he won't go unnoticed to some of the big sort of GC favourites here. However, he will slide under the radar and he could be one of those guys. And the Giro d'Italia lends itself to it. He could be one of those guys that gets in a breakaway, takes 6 or 7 minutes, and then finds himself deep into the third week fighting for a podium spot. So I would put nothing past Michael Storer at this year's race.
One of the guys who we all expect he'll be battling for a podium spot with is the favourite, Jonas Vingegaard. None of the last three winners of this race are actually going to be there this year. Simon Yates has retired, Tadej Pogacar and Primoz Roglic are sitting this one out, which means that that favouritism sits with the Dane. He won the Vuelta a España last year. He's been in exceptional form. Do you think anyone can challenge the great Dane?
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, you're right, he is the outright favourite.
And here is the man who won last year, putting this year's tour to bed after the performance of his career. Jonas Vingegaard will win again the Tour de France.
But again, I'll go back to what I said before, his biggest threat could be himself and the race itself, not necessarily the big rivals. He's got to make it through 21 days. He's got to not crash. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be fit. We know he's fit. You're right. He's had a great start to the season.
There's no denying he's for sure the red hot favourite. No questions. But I think the Giro is a bit more unpredictable than the Tour. I think it's also hard to come in as the big favourite to deliver as well. It's also quite hard for the team.
But I tell you who I see that jumps off the page for me as possibly the biggest threat. You mentioned Simon Yates. But guess what? He's got a twin brother, Adam, who is in the race, and he leads the UAE Team Emirates. Brotherly rivalry. Wouldn't Adam love to win the Giro like his brother did last year? I think Adam could emerge as the big challenger to Jonas Vingegaard. So the difference with the Giro, when we talk about the Giro compared to the Tour de France, I always say the Tour de France is Hollywood. And yes, it is the hardest race to win, and the best of the best are at the Tour de France. But the Giro d'Italia has an X factor about it, and it has for many, many years. So I think you'd be a fool to say that everyone else in this field is fighting for second place when the race hasn't even started.
We're not here to lick stamps, you could say.
It's going to be an exciting race. The Giro is modernising itself a little bit as well. The average stage distance is shorter than what it's, I think, been ever. The mountain stages are a lot different. They're shorter mountain stages. We've still got a high point of 2,200 metres, I think, deep in the Dolomites. So it's got a little bit of everything and, of course, a start in Bulgaria. So, yeah, look, we're just raring to get this race underway.
Dave McKenzie, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the tour.
Will do. Thank you.
Ben Cameron calls the footy for the ABC, and Ben, last night was second, taking on third in the big state, and it was Freo who made the big statement. The Hawks were a little banged up throughout the game. Do you think the Dockers did enough, though, to prove that they're the real deal in 2026?
Well, they didn't need to prove it to me. I'm a believer, but that final quarter, so 5-6, 36 to 1 behind, a 30-point swing in the game was enormous, and Luke Jackson was the catalyst behind it. In the midfield, 8 disposals, 7 of those were contested, but it was the dynamism with which he took it out of the middle.
Meek won the tap, but it's stolen away by Jackson. Immediately kicks towards full forward, coming out young, couldn't mark. Here's Tracy, tries to take on 3, got a hand pass away. Amos puts Fremantle in front.
And we're starting to see that more commonly for Fremantle, but all of a sudden they're top of the ladder, they're 8-1, they've still got another 7 games remaining at home this season. They should win all of those, if not the lion's share, and pick off enough on the road that sees them finish top 2 and gives them an armchair ride through to a grand final. So they are very well placed at the moment.
Friday night doubleheaders are back, and the one that piques my interest is actually 12th taking on 13th. Port Adelaide hosting the Bulldogs. Port went down last Friday by 1 point in that showdown, and the Dogs are on a four-game losing streak. We know that Marcus Bontempelli is playing hurt. How far can they push their injured skipper in the name of arresting that slide?
Yeah, so beware the wounded dog. I think the fascination here with Marcus Bontempelli is whether the Dogs have missed their chance to rest him. So they've probably had two games just gone that they were never likely to win. Was that their chance to rest Marcus Bontempelli before they get to more swing games like they're going to play in the next couple of weeks? Now he's still banged up, and they might have a lesser version of the best player in the game, in my opinion, or right there with Nick Dacos, against teams that they can beat. Albeit, on one leg last week, he had 33-2.
Hand pass away to the Bond. The Bond, he's going to do it himself.
Oh, what a beauty.
The Bond lands a bomb on the run. That is greatness uninhibited.
I think people are just sleeping on Port Adelaide a little bit at the moment. So Nathan Buckley, who is a panellist on the couch, he's also an assistant coach at Geelong. He said last week that they were very, very good when they played Geelong. So they're in the top four for points against, behind the ball, defending turnovers to scores, and also defensive 50 to an inside 50 against. So they are stopping teams moving the ball at the moment. They really should have started the season 4-0 with the run that they had to begin the year. They didn't, but they've improved significantly from that point onwards. So that won't be easy for the Bulldogs tonight.
We're set to see something really special on Saturday night, Ben. Scott Pendlebury equaling the all-time games record, 432. It is an incredible feat. They take on the Cats at the G, but the result of that game aside, how do you reflect on 21 years of his career so far?
The main thing I think of is time stopping when Scott Pendlebury gets the ball. So it does feel like the game slows down. And that is something that is entirely true across the very best in almost every sport.
The ageless one, Pendlebury, a phenom. He's second of the day. And it's the biggest day he's ever had.
Roger Federer. It's like the tennis match is moving slower. Be it for cricket players when they're facing particularly extreme pace. It feels like they've got more time than other batsmen. And that's been entirely true for Scott Pendlebury. Almost to punish Boomer and to be torturous, we have him on the coverage on ABC Sports. So that'll be good humour. I think he thought this was going to be his record until the end of time.
Ben Cameron, big weekend of footy. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Soundbites. There's a bit going on in the tennis at the moment. The French Open has come under fire from players about their revenue share from the 2026 tournament. The prize pool is up over $100 million Australian dollars, but players like Jannik Sinner argue that their piece of the pie doesn't reflect the work they put in.
It's more about respect, you know. It's because I think we give much more than what we are getting back, and it's not only for the top players, it's for all of us players.
Big names like Aryna Sabalenka have suggested there's a chance players might even boycott the tournament, and former world number one Novak Djokovic says they'd have his support.
The new generations are coming up, and I'm glad that there is willingness from the leaders of our sport, like Sabalenka, to really step up and understand the dynamics of how the tennis politics works and understand what needs to be done, not only for her benefit and well-being, but for everyone.
The French Open gets underway later this month, one to watch. There's a cracking weekend of rugby league to come, but last night we saw the Bulldogs slide down the ladder continue with a loss to the Dolphins. But I'll admit, a vintage NBA reference wasn't on my bingo card.
Give it to Wasako! He wants four! Oh, an amazing pass in field! He was pushed over the touchline by Tracy, but he's given it Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hook! Basketball whip infield with a one-handed pass to Bostock.
Fins up, I suppose. And David Warner's lawyer has spoken outside court after the former Test opener's Easter Sunday drink driving case was heard for the first time in court.
It's not a crime to have a few glasses of wine on the day of the Lord's resurrection.
Maybe he thought it was water. Wasn't that Jesus's thing? I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Declan Byrne. Thanks to the Giro d'Italia and the Tour de France for the extra audio used in this episode.